Second Chronicles chapter number 10. Tonight we're going to be looking at friends. There's two different types of friends. We're going to look at two friends that we should each have, and we're going to look at one friend that we must have in our life. Second Chronicles chapter number 10, in verse number 1. It says, "And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for to Shechem were all Israel come to make him king. And it came to pass, when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was in Egypt, whither he had fled from the presence of Solomon the king, heard it, that Jeroboam returned out of Egypt. And they sent and called, him. So Jeroboam and all Israel came and spake to Rehoboam, saying, Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore ease thou somewhat the grievous servitude of thy father, and his heavy yoke that he put upon us, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, Come again unto me after 3 days. And the people departed. And King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men that had stood before Solomon, his father, while he yet lived, saying, What counsel give ye me to return answer to this people? And they spake unto him, saying, If thou be kind to this people, and please them, and speak good words to them, they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel which the old men gave him, and took counsel with the young men that were brought up with him, that stood before him. And he said unto them, What advice give ye that we may return answer to this people, which have spoken to me, saying, Ease somewhat the yoke that thy father did put upon us. And the young men that were brought up with him spake unto him, saying, Thus shalt thou answer the people that spake unto thee, saying, Thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it somewhat lighter for us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. For whereas my father put a heavy yoke upon you, I will put more to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions." Tonight we're going to look at two different types of friends. We're going to look at even how friends affect you in your life, how they can affect you and how they will affect you if you're not careful. But first, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this night. I thank you for the time that we get to come to your house, Lord, once again. I thank you for that opportunity, Lord, that we can come to your house freely tonight, Lord. I pray that you'd be with just the preaching tonight. I pray that you'd fill me with your spirit, Lord. I pray that you'd just speak through me tonight, Lord. And I pray that you'd prepare the hearts of those that will hear the message, Lord. I pray that you'd just show them something from your word tonight, Lord. I pray that they apply it to their lives. I pray that they will serve you better from it, Lord. And I pray you'd be with you tonight. I pray you'd bless them in the back. And in Jesus' name, amen. Two types of friends. First, I want you guys to think of your best friends. We call them best friends because they're the friends that we talk to all the time. They're the friends that you're probably going to talk to later tonight. You're going to talk to them tomorrow. You're going to talk to them almost every day of the week. I want you to think of your best friends. And once you got them, just think of what influence do they have in your life? Do you go to them when you have a question about something? Do you go to them when you're just not sure about something? What do you go to them for? Do you go seeking answers? What answer do they give you? Do they give you a biblical answer? Do they give you their opinion on stuff? Just think about your friends tonight and have them in your mind while we go through the message. In verse number 7, we look at Rehoboam's friends. We find the first kind of friends. In verse number 7, it says, "And they spake unto him, saying," this being the older men that were his father's counselors. It says, "And they spake unto him, saying, If thou be kind to this people, and please them, and speak good words to them, they will be thy servants forever." The older men that were his father's friends, they gave him good advice. They gave him biblical advice. We see that they gave him the golden rule, is what they basically gave him. If you do good to this people, they'll do good to you. Whatever you do to this people, they'll do good. They'll do whatever you do to them, they'll do it back. They were asking him to serve this people. And this is kind of something new to him because he's a new king. He's ruler of all of Israel. And he's getting ready. He's like, okay, what should I say to those people? I want your advice on this. And they're like, basically, you need to serve them. You need to please them. You need to speak good words to them. You need to ease their burden. Basically, what they're saying, you need to serve them just a little bit. Maybe if you serve them a little bit, it's going to be a little bit harder on you. But they're going to serve you forever. It says they will be thy servants forever. And he didn't like that. He didn't like that one bit. We see sometimes maybe our friends will give us some advice. It may be biblical advice. And if they give it to us, maybe it's not the best advice that maybe it's not the advice that we wanted to hear, but it's always the best advice that they can give us. And verse number 8 and 9, it says, "But he forsook the counsel which the old men gave him, and took counsel with the young men that were brought up with him, and that stood before him. And he said unto them, What advice give ye that we may return answer to this people, to this people which have spoken to me, saying, Ease somewhat the yoke that thy father did put upon us." It says he forsook the counsel. He didn't accept it. He didn't want to do that. He didn't want to serve the people. He wanted to see what the people could add to him.
Yeah.
This is a thing of pride. This was his issue. This is his issue of pride. And so he turned to his younger friends, the friends that didn't have as much experience. They didn't go through life as much. They were his age. I mean, they're his friends. It says who he grew up with. They were thinking the same way he was. It says, there's an old saying that says, "Friends of a feather flock together." If you want to figure out what a man is going to be, look at his three or four closest friends. You'll never be more than what your friends are. And so that is why it's very important for us to have good, godly friends that will give us godly counsel on things, especially when we're going through life in tough times. But it says he forsook that counsel. In verse number 10, it says, "And the young men that were brought up with him and spake unto him, saying, Thus shalt thou answer the people that spake unto thee, saying, Thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it somewhat lighter for us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. For whereas my father put a heavy yoke upon you, I will put more to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions." We see the effect of this advice here in verse number 12 and 13. It says, "So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam on the third day, as the king bade, saying, Come again to me on the third day. And the king answered them roughly. And King Rehoboam forsook the counsel of the old men, and answered them after the advice of the young men, saying, My father made your yoke heavy, but I will add thereto, My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions." And we see later on in the text that the kingdom split because of this. The kingdom split from all 12 tribes being under one king to 10 tribes under Jeroboam, which we see that he will speak good words to them. He didn't stay faithful to those words, but he did speak good words unto them at first. But 10 tribes went with him, and 2 tribes stayed with Rehoboam. The advice that that Rehoboam's friends gave him affected his life severely. We see that it affected the lives of others as well. If our friends are not going to go to the Word of God about things that we ask them, and are not going to give us counsel according to the Word of God, then it will affect our lives in a negative sense, in a negative context. One thing that I always struggled with growing up was my friends would say one thing, but then my parents would say something different. Tonight, the two friends that we should have as as adults, as teens, as young adults in our family's home, under our father's roof, the two friends that we should have, our two best friends, should be our parents. Our parents are the ones that want to see us succeed more than anybody else. They love us. They brought us into this world. They want to care for you. But the world will say something completely different. The world doesn't believe that. They want to go their own way, and they'll give you that advice. They'll tell you, hey, at some point you're going to have to branch out from your father's roof. You're going to have to live on your own. You're going to have to make your own rules. And that's true. You are. But those rules shouldn't fall far from what your parents set in place. Because if they're godly parents, they're going to put godly rules in your life, especially when you're growing up and everything. So your rules shouldn't really change much. But a lot of times there's a pull from the world and from the young people of this world, and they want you to think, hey, you're good enough to do it on your own. You're good enough to make it on your own. You can make your rules, even though you're not as smart as your parents. You may not be as experienced. But hey, what have your parents gone through? It's like they never grow up. I mean, they've always been that way. That's not true. Your parents has gone through everything that you have and have come through that. They have experience. They have the knowledge of God. They've read, they've searched God's scriptures on things. They know exactly, or they should know exactly from the Word of God what to tell you in those times. If you don't have godly parents, search out, find your youth pastor, find a pastor. I know they love you. They care for you. They want to see you succeed in life. They want to see you serve the Lord with all that you have. Find them and friend them. Go to them whenever you have questions about something. Go to them whenever whenever you want to see what they have to say about something. And if it's it should be from the Bible. It should be from the Word of Truth. It should be from the source of truth, God's Word. we need to be going to those men of God for answers when we have questions. But when you're an adult and when you're out of the house, and there's one friend that you should always have. You should still be friends with your mom and dad. That's one thing you should have throughout your life. You should always be able to go to them and ask their opinion on something, and it should be by the Word of God. But the next friend that you should have is your pastor. He should be your best friend. He should be the guy that you go to whenever you have questions, whenever you're going through a trial, whenever you're going through hard times in life. Your pastor should be who you go to. And I believe for a lot of you guys in here that it is. I mean, he's always getting phone calls. He's always getting texts. I know because I grew up with him under his house, and I mean he's getting phone calls all the time. Which, that's his job. He's here for you guys. He loves you guys. He cares for you. He's going to pray for you guys. He prays for you guys all the time. It's because he loves you and he cares about you, and he's going to give you the Word of God. Whenever you have questions for him, he's going to go to the Word of God and give you answers from that. I know because I've asked him questions. I've asked him about things in my life. One thing that I will say that he always does, it's consistent. He always goes to the Word of God. And we're going to see later that we, as a friend, we cannot depend on ourselves to give the Word of Truth, because in our hearts, we do not have the Word of Truth. The Bible says that our heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? If you base your opinion on something from your heart, you will not give good godly counsel like you should. we're gonna look at that later. Kind of getting ahead of myself here, but those are the two friends that you should have. You should always be able to be friends with your mom and dad, and you should always be friends with your pastor, best friends. I want you to go to them whenever you have questions. Go to them whenever you need answers on something. Go to them whenever you're in a trial. Whenever you're going through hard times. Job had three friends, and they didn't give him the best counsel that he needed at that time. And you could see how that affected him. He went through life, and these friends, they were giving him counsel, and they thought it was good counsel because it's coming from them. They thought it was great counsel, but it wasn't. It wasn't good counsel at all. It wasn't what he needed at that point in time. If they would have searched out this, if they would have prayed about it and figured out what God wanted them to say, it would have helped out. It would have helped Job out tremendously. What you give advice on to your friends will affect them, and you need That's to right. and you need to know that. You need to be careful with what you tell them. That's right. let's see the number one friend that we all must have is Jesus Christ. We looked at the two types of friends. We have godly friends and we have worldly friends. There's two friends that we should have throughout life. That's our pastor and that's our mom and dad. And the one friend that we must have is Jesus Christ. I know it sounds kind of cliche. Be Jesus' best friend. It sounds funny. It really does, but it's the truth. We need to be able to go to Jesus and God for everything in our life, for everything that goes on in our life. We should be able to go to them and seek that out and find it in their Word, and we should be able to just talk to them. I know you can't have a best friend here on earth unless you're able to talk to them all the time. You have something in common with them, whether it's church or whether it's sports, or your friend and you have something in common. Do you have something in common with Jesus Christ? Do you have a prayer life? Do you talk to him each and every day? Do you read His Word? Do you get something from His Word every day? Our best friend, our absolute best friend, should be Jesus Christ. We see that He loves us like no one else has. He came down from His throne. He had it made up in heaven. He's God's Son. He had it made. He was sitting on His throne, and He came down to earth just to live a life and die at the end of His days. He lived the perfect life. He lived the life that we cannot live. He lived in such a way that He was not guiltless, or that he was guiltless of everything. He never sinned. He was never guilty of anything, and yet He lived just so that He could die for us at the end of His days. We see that He had 12 friends, His disciples. He poured His life into them. He poured everything He knew into those 12 people. One of them, Judas Iscariot, he forsook all that he learned from Jesus Christ. He spent 3.5 years with Jesus Christ, and he still forsook Him at the end of His days. That blows my mind. It really does. But we see that, there's people like that in churches today. They live their whole entire lives in church. They go to church and hear what God says every single week of their life, but yet they forsake it at the end of the day. They never trusted Him as a Savior. If that's one of you tonight, Jesus wants to be your friend. You need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight. We'll look a little bit more into that here in a second. But we see those 11, and then Matthew. So it makes 12 at the end, but they wanted to serve Jesus Christ with all that they had forever and ever. And they didn't forsake what Jesus taught them because Jesus taught them by the Word of God. Everything that He said to them was the Word of God because He is the Word. Every sentence that Jesus spoke to them was all true. They went to Him for questions, with questions that they had. They went to Him for just help during trials. They went to Him for everything. He was their best friend, and He should be ours too. The Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Jesus didn't lay His life down just for His friends. He laid His life down for His enemies as well. True. He didn't lay His life down just for the people that He knew that would get saved. He didn't do that. He laid His life down for each and every sinner, each and every murderer, each and every person that's ever walked the face of this earth. Jesus Christ has died for. He died. He paid for their sins. They didn't have to go to hell. Each and every lost person that goes to hell goes because they chose to. God does not send anybody to hell. You send yourself there. If you never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that is on you. The Bible says that He offers us the gift of salvation. It's a free gift, a gift that doesn't cost you anything, but it costs Jesus everything. We see that Jesus wants to be your friend tonight because He loves you. He cared about you. The Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that the man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus had so much love that He didn't just die for His friends. He died for His enemies as well. Would you die for your friends tonight? We're going to look at, so we see the two friends that we must have, or the two types of friends. We have worldly friends, and there are godly friends. We have the two friends that we need to have in our life. That's our parents and our pastor. We see the number one friend that we must have, that we must have whenever we leave this earth, as Jesus Christ. Because you can't have a relationship with Jesus Christ unless you're saved. That's the whole reason He came to earth to die. Adam and Eve, when they sinned in the garden, they broke that relationship that they had with Him. They walked and talked with God in the garden. And after they sinned, that broke their relationship with that. And you can't be someone's friend unless you have a relationship with them. Right. And so Jesus Christ came to earth. He lived the life that we couldn't live as humans. And He lived that life, and He was guiltless on the cross. There's no reason that He should be there. But yet He was there because He loved us. He died for us. And now He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to be your friend. That's why He died and rose again the third day. We see what friend you must be to your friends. In 2 Chronicles 10, we see that He went with the young men that that spake unto Him. They spoke what He wanted to hear. The young men that grew up with Him, they spoke what He wanted to hear. And He ended up going along with that. He ended up going along with the poor advice that his young friends had given him. In your life today, do you? So if you have friends, I hope everyone here has friends that they can go to and talk to about things like this. If you don't, there's a couple friends here that would love to be your friends. I know Dad would love to be your friend. That you can go to. I know Brother John Seaback there would love to be your friend. Brother John Haley would love to be your friend. Brother Rob would love to be your friend. These men of God, they would love to give you godly counsel and things. But what kind of friend should you be? What kind of friend can you be to your friends out that you already have? We see that you can be a witness to your friends. There's your friends. Your friends look at you, and they may not say they do this, but they do. They judge you on what you do. They judge you all the time. Your friends do judge you. I mean, they do. They look at your life. They see the decisions that you make, and they will always question them no matter what you do. But you can be a witness to your friends. You can, if you make your decisions based on the Word of God, it's going to show your friends that you want to live a godly life. It's going to show them that that you want to live according to how God wants you to live. You can be a witness to your friends, and not only in just the way you live, but also you can tell your friends about God and what He has done for them. If you have lost friends, the number one thing you should be doing right now is to be witnessing to them. If you really love your friends, you will make sure that they're saved. If you really love your friends, you will not let them die and go to devil's hell. If you really loved your friends, you'd be telling them about the gospel every time you see them. Your friends, if you love your friends, you're going to do everything in your power to help them to get saved. That is the number one thing you should be as a friend to your friends. you should be a loving friend. A loving friend is one that sacrifices for your friends. You're not going to be the one in the friendship that takes all the time from the other friend. That friendship does not last long. If you have a friendship with Jesus Christ and all you do is talk and talk and talk, and you never let Jesus Christ talk back to you, He's not going to talk back in an audible voice. We know that. But He does talk to you. If you always have a one-sided relationship with somebody, you're never going to have a true friendship with them. If you are always taking from your friends, at one day there's not going to be anything you can take from them anymore. You keep taking from them. It's not going to last long. You need to be a loving friend, a friend that loves them. The Bible says I believe it's Proverbs 17:17, it says a friend loveth at all times. You need to be a loving friend to your friends. Why do we need to be a loving friend? We need to be a loving friend because Jesus is a loving friend to you. Jesus shared His love for us on the cross. He died for you. I'm not saying that you have to die for your friends. Maybe that might be something you might need to do. But sacrifice your time, sacrifice your money, sacrifice your just everything that you have. Sacrifice it for your friends. Show them that you love them. Agape love is a serving love, I believe, is what agape love is. I was studying for another message, and it's on love, and it's one of the messages I was thinking about preaching tonight, but I didn't have liberty, I guess, to preach that. But while I was looking at it, it says agape love is a serving love. It's a love that you show. It's what Jesus had whenever He died on the cross. It's what He has whenever He comes to earth and lives a perfect life, and He did it because He loves you, and it's a sacrificial love. We should have that sacrificial love for our friends. We should be, buy them lunch every once in a while. Go out and show them that you love them. Buy them lunch, buy them coffee, take them out. Not in a fighting sense, don't take them out that way. But you need to take them out. Show them that you love them. hey, you gotta do that sometimes too, maybe. But show them that you love them. You should be a loving friend. And when you are a loving friend, you're showing the love of Jesus that is inside you as well. In our text in 2 Chronicles, we see that Rehoboam was not a loving friend to his people.
That's right.
He did not love them as he should. He did not love them enough to take time, sacrifice himself for them. He didn't take time to do that. He didn't love his people. And we see that because, well, they ended up splitting, and it tore the kingdom apart. He did not love his people like he should have. If you have friends, the Bible says, if a man have friends, he must show himself friendly. You might have friends for a little bit of time, and those friends might leave. You might wonder why. Well, maybe it's because you're not showing yourself friendly to those friends. You're not loving them like you should. You're not showing them the love of God. If you have friends tonight, make sure you show yourself friendly to them. Like I said, if you have a one-sided friendship, it ain't going to last long. It's not going to last long at all. The other day, Jimmy had forgotten his shorts that he needed for soccer, and I got home early that day from work, and he asked me. He's like, hey, can you go and find my shorts and bring them to school? So, because we're going on a field trip, and I don't have time to go back home and get them. And I was like, you know, back in my mind, I'm like, I really don't want to do this, you know. that's what he lives right down the road, so that's not an issue. But I mean, it's a 20-minute drive to Suburban, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't have anything going on the rest of the day. Like, I really didn't. I was like, I don't know. But I was like, no. I was like, I need to do this. I need to do this for Jimmy. And so I ended up going to his house, and I'm like, okay, what's your passcode to your garage door? I need to know your passcode so I can get in there. He goes, it should be this. I try it. I'm like, it doesn't work. He goes, well, is there any window that's open? I'm like, I don't know. I'll check it out. So he goes, if there is any window open, it should be this window right here. I'm like, okay. I go to this window. Window's locked. I was like, really, Jimmy, you're really hurting me here. I go, okay. I was like, is your bedroom window open? He's like, yes, it's unlocked. I was like, okay, perfect. I'm going to go up there. I get a ladder. I find a ladder. I go, I climb up to his window, and I get a text from him, and he says, hey, I got someone else had an extra pair. He gave them to me. I'm like, cool. I was like, this is awesome. I broke into your house for no reason. I broke into your house for no reason. I was like, this is great. So, but I was just saying, I mean, you have to be able to do things for your friends like that. You have to be willing to sacrifice your time. Break into their house if you need to. You'd be able to break into your house if they need you to. But just, you know that you must be able to sacrifice your time, your precious time. You're not going to ever get that time back. But you need to be able to show your friends that you love them. And I know he'd do the same thing for me if I ever asked him to. If I ever needed him to do something, I know that Jimmy would be able to do. He'd be the first one to say, hey, I'll do it for you. He'd be the one that would be like, hey, I got something going on, but hey, you need something, I'll be there for you. Those are the types of friends that you need to be to your friends. It may not be always convenient to you. It may not be something that you want to do necessarily, but it is something that you always should be able to do. It's something that you need to do to show your friend that you love them. Show your friend that you love them this week. I taught on friends in Sunday school a couple weeks ago. And I challenged each and every one of them. I was like, okay, this week, I was like, I want you guys to do something for your friends just to show them that you love them. I want you to be kind to your friends. I want you to do one thing this week, if nothing else, just for the purpose to show your friends that you love them. And I think most of them did it. Is that right, Joel? I think most of them did it. So, hey, if anything you get from this message tonight is just show your friends that you love them tonight. If it's always a one-sided friendship, it's never going to last long. Your friends need to know that you love them. Don't ever do it just for the fact that now that they owe you something. Don't ever do that just for the fact that they owe you something. Do it because you love them. Your friends, to me, my friends never, they don't owe me anything. I'll do something for my friends, but it's not because I want something back. If they want to do something back, I want it to be because they want to do it just so that they love me. I don't want them to feel like they have to do anything for me. I don't want them to feel like they owe me anything because they really don't. I love my friends and I'll do anything for them. They need to have that same love for their friends as well. Jesus had that mentality as well. He came and died on the cross. He gave his life for you and I. And he did it just so that we can have a relationship with him. He did it knowing that not everybody's going to love him back. The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. we see that Jesus Christ died on the cross just for you and I, but he did it also for everyone else that hasn't accepted him. He did it knowing that there is going to be people that never accepted him, that rejected him, and that we're never going to get saved. He did it even knowing that. We should be loving friends. We should be the friend that does something for somebody else, even though we should expect nothing in return. We don't need anything in return because we're doing it for them because we love them. Tonight, I want you to look at what kind of friends are you to your friends. First, I want you to look at what kind of friends do you have. Do you have godly friends? Do you have godly friends or do you have worldly friends? I don't really have worldly friends. I don't count them as friends like that because I don't go to them for advice. I don't go to them for counsel on things. I don't. If I have a friend, I'm going to go to them for counsel on things. It's because I know that they're going to take me to the Word of God. They're going to show me what God says in His Word about that problem. That's why I don't have worldly friends, because of that reason, I guess. But I do have worldly acquaintances. I do know a lot of worldly people. I work with five of them every day. I'm around them all the time, and I love them. I want them to be saved. I pray for them all the time. I know that it's going to be a long road for them to get saved if they do, just because I know in their lives things that they need to undo before they get saved. But I pray for them every day. And if you have acquaintances like that, even if you call them friends, and if they're lost, if they're worldly friends, pray for them. Show them that you love them too. If you're praying for them every day and they see the love of God in you, they'll want to be like you, and they'll see something different about you, and they'll hopefully ask questions about that, and then there's your opportunity right there. Show them the love of God. Show them the gospel. But we see those are the two types of friends. We have worldly friends. We have godly friends. Are your friends godly friends? When something comes up, and it might not be the best thing, if there's someone not dressed right in Walmart or something, are your friends the ones that say, hey, look at that? Or are they the ones that say, hey, don't look over there. That's not good to look over there. Just don't do that. Are they godly friends? Are they keeping you from sin, or are they introducing sin to you? Examine your friends tonight. Your friends are besides your parents and besides your pastor, they're the most most influential people in your life. We see in our text how influential. They split a kingdom apart. That Rehoboam's friends split a kingdom apart because of their counsel that they gave them. Examine your friends tonight and make sure that they are the godly ones. Make sure they are godly friends tonight. If they're not, you don't have to unfriend them. You don't have to shun them. You don't have to do that. Just stop taking advice from them. Don't take advice from them. Whenever they tell you something, I guess put like a guard on that. You don't have to. Don't take advice from worldly friends because it's from their heart. And it might be true sometimes, but their father's the devil, and that's the Bible says that lost people, the father is their devil. Beware of what lost people tell you. Beware of the advice that they give you, because for the most of the time, it's coming from their father, and their father's the devil. Be careful. The devil would love to trip you up in your Christian walk. So just put a guard on what you the advice that your worldly friends give you, if you have any worldly friends tonight. Do you have godly friends? Are your friends the ones that are keeping you from sin? Are they protecting you? Are they looking after you? Are they texting you every day saying, do they text you ever and say, hey, I found this in my Bible reading and I just wanted to share it with you because I wanted to see what your thought was on this? Do they text you every once in a while and say, hey, I'm praying for you? Are they godly friends? Second, how's your relationship with your parents? Are you best friends with your parents? Are you best friends with them? Do you go to them on everything? Do you go to them about issues in your life? Do you go to them with questions about some trial that you're going through? If not, your parents are the top two people in the world that care about you. They love you. They brought you into this world. They want to see you succeed in this world. If you don't have a relationship with your parents, go to your pastor. Go to your youth pastor. Make sure you have a good relationship with them, because they care about you just as much as your parents do. I can promise you that. They're praying for you. They do care about you. They love you. They want to see you. They want to see you walk in the path that God has for you. Those are the two friends that you need to have. And how's your relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you talk with him every day? Do you have a prayer life? Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? That is the most important thing as a Christian that you can ever do, is have a relationship with Jesus Christ himself. And not just a one-sided relationship. Not just one where you're praying all the time and you're talking to him all the time. No, stop praying. When you're praying, just stop praying for a second and wait for him to answer you. Wait for him to talk to you. He will answer you. He will show you things in his word. Pray that just in your quiet time. Are you looking for what God will show you in your quiet time when you're reading your Bible? Make sure you have a good relationship with Jesus Christ. And by the way, sin will keep you from having that. If you have sins in your life, they will keep you from having a relationship with Jesus Christ. So make sure that you are clean. Make sure you die to self daily, like Paul was saying. He dies to himself daily because of the sin that he had, that he'd struggle with. We all struggle with sin. Just make sure you're dying to self daily. You're putting God first in your life and having a relationship with him. That's why he came and died on this earth. That's why he came and died on the cross, just so that he could have a relationship with you. And then lastly, we see, what kind of friend are you being to your friends? Make sure that you are a godly friend to them. Make sure you're a loving friend. Make sure you're a witnessing friend. Make sure that they will be able to say, hey, if I have a problem and I have a question about something, I should be able to go to you, because I know that you will take me to the Word of God and show me the truth, because we should be doing that. Love your friends. Show them that you love them by doing something kind to them. Take them out to eat sometime. Just show them. Sacrifice your love, or sacrifice your time and your money and love on your friends this week. And the Lord will bless you for it. Just do it in a way that, don't expect anything in return. You're not doing it so that they owe you anything. You're doing it because you love them. Love your friends tonight and this week, and the Lord will bless you. But that's what I have. That's all I have tonight. Are you loving your friends? Are your friends friends that you should have? So examine your friends. Make sure they're friends that you should have and should take advice from. And make sure that you are a friend that your friends are able to take advice from, because you go to the Word of God on everything. Make sure that you love the Lord and have a relationship with him.